My name is Jamie, and I am here with Chris and Sam. Today, we have decided to talk about, I don't know, we've kind of been on like a team theme. And so I think we're interested in the idea of a back line in improv. And full disclosure, I remember listening to a podcast years ago, Mick Napier talking about the back line and saying some and having some interesting thoughts. And that's always kind of stuck with me is, yeah, improv seems to be the only art form that has a back line. It's like, if you're not in the performance, why are you still on stage? Whereas normal theater, you leave the stage. Or, you know, if you're in a band and you don't really have a part, you might step off for a minute and let the drummer have their solo or whatever. It is very interesting. So we're here to talk about the back line. I mean, gentlemen, how are you feeling about back lines? I mean, Sam and I have a duo. There's almost never a back line. So it's interesting how the number of people on a team might affect whether there is a back line. Although that's not necessarily true, because Sam and I both have done scenes and shows where we either leave the other person on stage by themselves or we're both off stage, which means that theoretically one or both of us would be on the back line while nothing else is happening, but we leave the stage, right? So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Sam, tell us.
The back line. I just hate it. I hate it so, so much. I agree with you. I think people should just get off stage. And I wonder how much of this is a function of where people have had to do improv before. If you're doing it in a bar and there is no like offstage area or a black box theater kind of a thing, there's no wings. But at a certain point, could you just support the scene that's there? Can you provide atmosphere? Thinking about talking about the back line, the only advice I have is that if you're not in the scene, listen really hard and try to have two things in your back pocket. Don't have more than two things in your back pocket. You don't need more than two things. You just need like one thing to start a scene and a backup in case someone else happens to start a scene with the idea that you were thinking of.
No, that's too much thinking. Just move from a, when you're inspired, move. Anywho, I'm just messing with you, but you know, kind of not. It's interesting. The back line brings up a lot for me. First of all, at the West Side, there's no back line. At the West Side Comedy Theater, there's no back line because there's the stage isn't big enough. It's not wide enough or narrow and whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. So players are off to the wings, off to the sides. But I was just thinking about a back line can be so annoying to be on and to watch in some instances, but it's also could be really fun to watch if you're watching a show like Ass Cat at UCB. It's fun. It can be fun for the audience to watch one of their favorite improvisers' reactions to what's going on in the scene. It's funny. It's. I feel like neither of you agree with me, but hear me out. It can be a fun experience to watch Horatio Sands, you know, sitting in the chair in the back line or standing, you know, laughing at what's going on. It seems to be all part of the same show rather than like a strict Herald with like less experienced improvisers. Like that's different, like watching them in their heads or be out of their heads, just like laughing at a show. But in like this, in the Ass Cat, I think it's part of the show for those. I don't need to explain Ass Cat, but it's typically, you know, some of the better improvisers around and even some celebrities. So it's fun to watch a backline be involved or crack up like that. Now, a 180 degree turn, it's excruciating to watch some players on the back line when it comes to like maybe less experienced players. That could be sometimes they're like stealing focus. They're like, are they having a conversation upstage, you know, asking each other, like, what's the next thing? Or you see them out of it. Or, you know, some coaches have problems with people on the back line having their arms crossed or looking away. They kind of want like arms down at the ready. Anyway, there's a lot there is my point. There's a lot there.
The idea that we have to talk about what your posture has to be when you're standing on stage, not performing, is one of those things where it feels like it's improv navel gazing. right? It's the point at which the only people watching improv are people who do improv, so people accept that there's going to be all these people standing on stage. Well, I don't know,
but
Sam,
but isn't there a professional quality to that? Isn't the hopes that a non-improv audience comes into this theater to watch a professional performance, and therefore let's look like professionals? Let's not wear cargo shorts and sandals. Let's not have our arms crossed leaning against the wall, that this is a more professional production.
I understand that concept, but I would say that I've never seen a theater production with a backline. I've seen theater productions that have extras in the scene, and that looks super professional, but I haven't seen a theater production where people were standing in the back waiting for their time to go in.
Good point.
I have on this little post-it pros and cons that I would like to fill in about backlines. What are the pros of a backline? Let's be organized about this. So what are some good things?
Are we talking about a literal backline, or are we talking about the idea that when you're not in the scene, you're doing something off stage, if that makes sense, or you're not part of the scene?
What is the pro? A backline, when you're not in the scene and you're still standing on stage and you are of no use to anything, what is the pro of that setup for improv? One is maybe quick scene changes.
Quick scene. Speed.
Speed.
A tag is a lot faster when you have to take one step.
The walk on, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sweep even. You don't have to run super, super far. Mm-hmm. You know, or I guess editing in general.
Okay. Fast editing, probably.
It all falls under speed, I think, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important is a fast edit? Is that really key to, the success or failure of a scene? They hit that big line and then there's a huge laugh. Does that extra 1 second that it would take to come from the back really matter?
What's funny is I'm actually teaching editing right now to a one class. It's been really weird to look at it with these kind of fresher eyes because of this podcast and our conversations. I used to think the faster the better. As a matter of fact, I would pride myself in almost diving across the stage to get that. In hindsight, I recognized that I was doing that as kind of a performative piece. Do you know what I mean? I was adding to the heightening or the excitement of the moment where you see a player dive across the stage to get the edit. But again, that's performative. It's not just the technical usefulness. And it almost feels wonky to have a student in some of my cases, a 50-year-old, I don't want to be rude. It's just kind of weird to ask an adult sometimes to run from the left side of the stage to the right all the way across as fast as they can. It looks silly. But I think there is something to momentum of a piece that I respect, and some of those need to get out. We got to get out of those scenes. But God, Jamie. Anyway, there's a lot to say on that as a whole thing. But
I mean, even just thinking about your workshop and your sort of slower style approach, a fast sweep edit wouldn't work with that. I've been watching a lot of baseball, and I swear they must tell the umpires that their call has to match the intensity of the play. Because if it's if it's clearly an out, they'll just kind of lazily do it. But if it's a super thing, they're putting a lot of energy into it.
That's funny.
I feel like you really have to match it the same way.
Interesting. So yeah, if it's someone just died, a slow, painful death in hospice in the hospital scene, and someone sprints across the stage.
I mean, that'd be fun, but probably not the right.
Well, I would also use in my worst days, I would use my edit as a point, as a moment to talk to the audience, which my team hated. I'd go yikes, as I'm running across the stage. if it was a slow, painful death or an awkward ending, I'd go okay. Or, it's such a ridiculous thing to do. Anyway, let's not talk about editing. We'll save that for another episode.
Okay. So pros. So the speed of editing in general can have advantages, though it's not always needed. Anything else? Is there any other pro with having the back line? Is there anything that adds to the show by seeing six people not in the scene, standing in the back, watching the scene or making eye contact with audience members, or, you know.
I will say that if you are part of a back line, you, I think, are more present than you could be otherwise, right? You're aware that you're on a stage. You are trying to pay attention. Like, maybe you'll, you know, do some object shape work or whatever. Like, I do think there's...
You're connected.
You're connected in a different way.
I think that's nice. I think that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be easy to be detached if you couldn't see the scene. And maybe that's also part of it. It's like, if you can't see what's going on, you might not be able to add to it in your next scene or call it back later in the show.
That's a really good point. Just being able to just see what's going on is a really good pro for the backline.
we're getting in trouble here because we came out hot against the back line, and these are some pretty solid points in favor of it.
And I don't know how to say it eloquently, but I think there is some production value depending on the show. I just do. I think people want to see Matt Besser's reaction, whether we do or not. I think people want to see that. I think it's interesting when a move is made and sometimes only the back line will laugh, you know, it's like, what was that all about? I don't know. It's kind of a weird, not really tangible feeling.
It's a little bit more of, the stand-up side of thing where we enjoy watching the stand-up like laugh at their own jokes sometimes, or yes, just sort of like the atmosphere, the festive atmosphere of comedy.
Yeah. But yeah. Because Sam, when you see a backline break, like die because of a funny move, that is an enjoyable moment. Now I'm really thinking of like the best shows I've seen, if I'm being honest,
which I kind of love, by the way, that you are attacking the backline with the best version of the backline. I think that's actually kind of cool.
I know. So, I think that, I don't know, what are we calling that, Jamie?
I'm calling it audience connection. The audience might feel more connected with the performers rather than just the piece. They might be able to enjoy the entirety of the show.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Anything else? So we have editing, we have connectivity between players, connectivity between audience and players, and then just being able to see what's going on to help build the show. Is there anything else that is a positive for the back line?
And I guess within that, as kind of laid in, is like the speed of it all, right? The speed at which we can do the things, right? The tag outs, the walk-ons, that type of stuff. Okay.
Right.
I come back to the idea of just filling in the world is a little bit easier, right? You know, when someone says, "Hey, look at that portrait on the wall," and maybe it is the speed kind of a thing, but you throw it back to someone who's on the back line and they make a silly face right there. Like, there's, I don't know if it's half in some of this stuff, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the prop aspect of people on the back line.
I guess it lends itself towards being more efficient, be it for the edit, for the tag out, for the walk on, for the scene painting. Yeah, there's an efficiency to it, as opposed to like a walking across the stage to be the portrait. That's all I got.
All right, cons. What are the cons of a back line?
And I'll say the cons of the best back line there is.
And that's what we should be doing.
So not
because not the shitty 101 backline.
Because when Chris talked about his sort of like yikes edit, I think that's when people think about a bad backline, it's the person on the backline going yikes during the whole scene. But that's the bad version of the backline.
Okay.
So we'll try to defend the best version of the backline.
Okay. Well, how about the worst version of myself watching the best version of a backline? Because yes, Jamie, it would include the same thing I just said that was a positive, which is the back line being too involved in the show.
Like reacting to the show?
Yes. That could be, yes. Yeah. I don't mean as a performer, you know what I'm trying to say? That same audience thing, it could be distracting / maddening.
Right.
And like it gets too cutesy or like only they're laughing.
It's too inside.
Right. It's the thing where Jimmy Fallon, like some people like when he breaks, but some people hate it when he breaks. Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's a double-edged sword. Other cons.
Well, like Sam said, there's no back line in theater. It can kind of fuck with the reality of what it is you're watching.
Mm-hmm. Can break the reality.
Yeah, I think,
If it's a romantic scene in a bedroom between a husband and wife, and there's like 50 people standing around watching with their arms crossed
over them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I love our example today. The quick edit on the hospice dying scene and like a back line of 15 watching a intimate romantic moment. Yeah. I mean, there is, there's an, I don't know if like unsettledness to it, or there's just every so often you'll become aware that the back line is there, right? Like you can kind of ignore them for a certain period of time, but at some point you're not going to be looking directly at the two people performing, and like you're just going to be looking at someone who's standing on stage in a strong posture.
And I will say, I mean, I guess this goes to Chris's point. Is that a bad thing? Sometimes watching somebody's reaction, or they're not paying attention, is part of the show. Is that part of the, or the part of the experience? Maybe it's not part of the scene, but is it part of the experience of an improv show that makes it better? I don't know. Maybe it's a double-edged sword. It could go either way, really.
It's weird. I have to keep pulling my mind back to the best version of a backline, because I can see all the worst versions, which I just want to say again, slouching or what, talking or not paying attention. Like that shit looks weird. And like I said earlier with the professional stuff, Sam, where like we're talking about putting your hands by your side, I feel dumb saying that, but also it's kind of looks like a very casual Sunday beer drinking softball team. If everyone just kind of leaned back, two were sitting on a chair, you know, it could fuck with the whole look of it. But again, that's the worst. That's the worst. What are some cons
Well, maybe it waters down the
theatricality.
Maybe it waters down the seriousness with which it's taken as an art form, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to name that.
This is a little different, but do you ever feel like being on the back line would prevent you from stepping into a scene to support? Like you're waiting for something else, or I could do that thing, but I'm not going
Sam,
to.
That brings up a whole, which we talked about in the text thread a little bit. That's kind of a whole nother idea, is what's going on in the mind of the improviser on the back line. Cause that's an interesting conversation I want to have.
I think that should be part two to this episode. I just want to get these out on the table and then for sure.
So what else is good about the back line?
No, what's bad about it? We're doing bad.
bad about a good back line. Bad about a good back line.
How about what's bad about it? Yeah.
I mean, Chris, why don't you go ahead and say what you hate, what's bad about a bad back line?
Well, like I said, like that slouchiness is just what I'm calling this, like unprofessionalism thing, you know. For its faults, Second City did teach me about a show, how to put on a show, and how there is a paying audience coming to see a professional theater and comedy experience. I think when Chad Damiani was on here, I think he mentioned that about me, which is like a kind of a good and bad quality. It's like when I'm on stage, I'm like, you're here to see a show. And I always liked that. I liked that we had to wear, you know, white shirts and black pants for Second City shows and stuff. I felt like a professional. Anyway, please.
Second City has a back line?
That's a good question. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, their stages, right? Their main stage does a scripted review, but after every scripted review, there's the improv section. And I'd say they have a back line. I'd say they have, but remember iOS main stage didn't have a back line, Sam.
All right. Yeah, you had wings.
And one of my favorite photos of Heyday ever is two people are on stage and the rest of us are in the wings, all intently watching and listening. I just love that moment. But we're squished in a wing. We're not in a back line.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One important part of I guess this is also a double-edged sword for one of the pros we had, which was like the speed of editing and entrances and exits, is that when there's a back line, you can't make a punctuated, powerful entrance or exit because you just step forward and the drama is lost, as opposed to like coming through a door, you know, or coming out of the other room.
Let's talk about that, Jamie.
That's a huge part of comedy in general, is entrances and exits. Like, farce is built around entrances and exits. That's part of what defines that style.
I mean, some people have doors tattooed on them. That's how important an entrance is.
You know what I mean? That's crazy.
But it could be
lunatics. But yeah, Jamie, there's that moment too where it's weird because it's become a cutesy part of the show where you see the player leave the back line, exit, everyone, you're both nodding your head, exit using one of the doors to only then make the entrance through the other door. So
I hate when you see the improviser have the idea for what they're about to do,
and then they go execute it. You know, to their credit, or you know, there's no way around it. How do you make an entrance? But Jamie, you're right. That's a big negative. Even for the best players, they want to make this thing, or even as simple as like mom and dad are coming to dinner and there's two actual doors on stage. We want to see that entrance. We want to hear the knock. So instead we have to watch the players leave and then come around. And like I said, a lot of times it's kind of too cutesy. We see them walk and they're like, hey, you don't see me. And it's kind of like a moment. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's like mom and dad are coming and then you see two people tap each other and go leave and you just want to kill yourself.
The tap. I was just thinking about the tap.
Or the point in the across the point, the point in come hither hands. Like, you, me, let's go.
Wouldn't it be nice if that was all gotten rid of and they set that up in the back? There's like, okay, we're gonna go, like whisper to each other, and then they make it uniformly. It's like, it's just, you lose a little bit of the tightness, the punctuation of those moments that, you know, you can pretend you didn't see them, but I think actually seeing them is something very powerful that it's lost.
Yeah, and you actually do spoil a little bit of the surprise, right? I know who mom and dad's going to be. I've seen them on stage before, so like that door opens and I know exactly who's going to be standing there.
I wonder if we're judging this from like this theatrical perspective and less about, could it also be argued that that's what makes this unique and interesting? You know what I'm saying?
I tried to give it the credit for being good and I could not. It did not make the cut. That falls pretty squarely for me in the con category.
It's a sword with one edge.
Well, it's a sword with one edge.
Is there an example of ASCAT where, you know, I don't know, Will Ferrell is there and we see him do the same example we just talked about. He leaves stage to make an entrance. There could be argued that that moment could build a lot of anticipation and excitement. What's he going to do? You know, this is the best version. Oh shit, he's going to come through. You're already enjoying it. I don't know.
I guess I think that is particular to that show with a celebrity who you love and can't wait to see what they're about to do. So in the most specific of situations, that could be a pro.
I like that the comedy fix for back lines is there has to be a celebrity in the back line.
I know
that is the fix. Well,
because I'm trying
only
to do my
celebrity is everybody else has to be out on the wings.
Sam, I'm trying to do my best to see the best version because that's
you're
like,
doing
it's gonna,
great.
It's
you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job.
I mean, to your point though, you know, a celebrity could also be your teacher, right? So it's like you see your teacher in the background, the teacher goes off stage, you get excited. So,
I recall vaguely, I recall a student mentioning something I did on the back line as a non-participant, like, oh, you didn't like that, or like you thought that was really funny. That's a little distracting, to be honest. That's one of those con things. It's like, oh, you shouldn't be seeing me. I shouldn't be the focus. Anyway, that's going to lead us to this other part I want to talk about, which is what's going on in the mind of the player. But
okay, yeah.
And where are we at, Jamie?
That is a good con, though. As much as you are trying to be professional up there, and I have a terrible poker face, so I'm terrible at this. Like, you do see what the back line is thinking at some point. Like, you, it's just going to happen, and that can be distracting, even the best version.
Yes.
Any other cons? Any other cons? We have reacting to the show as that double-edged sword. We have breaking the reality of a scene. We have it waters down the elevation of the art form. Unpunctuated exits.
It can also highlight a stutter step in a way that you wouldn't necessarily see it if it wasn't on the back line. Big I don't know if that goes time. Into reacting, but
big
like,
time. That's going to be on our uh-huh. edit episode.
Lean forward and then change your mind.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a rough moment to watch.
Okay. Well, these pros and cons seem pretty evenly split in my view.
And a lot of them are the same.
A lot of them are the same. A lot of them are the same. Interestingly. All right. So let's go inside the brain of the person standing on the back line with the lights in their eyes, but they're out of the scene. The pressure's building because the longer that they have not made an entrance, the more the audience is like, what's going on with that person? I was just at a student show, in which I also performed, and I felt that self-consciousness about me. I didn't really have a strong role in that particular piece. I didn't have like a strong developed character that I could recall back. And so I didn't feel like I had a place in the show. So I'm like, you know what? They kind of have this without me. I don't want to jump in just to get my stage time because whatever. And then I also felt like self-conscious on the back line. I was like, wait, is it going to look weird if for the next 10 minutes, I do not even try to be a part of the show, even though I think the show is better served without me there because whatever reason, I didn't have a strong role in it. So that was an interesting moment that I just experienced last week. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to enter the show just to be a part of the show, which I think is the temptation with having a team and a backline. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that before, right? Where it's like, you see the one person who's still on the backline 2/3 into the show. And now you're so distracted waiting for them to come into the show that you're not even focusing on the scenes anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in a clown way, maybe that becomes the show in and of itself, is this person who just never leaves the back line as part of the show.
They come in for one line at the end, they bring down the house. People
don't. Yeah, yeah, it would.
I'm such a heady, anxious person who used to have a hard time, you know, going to grocery stores because I thought everybody was looking at me and judging me, never in a positive way, right? That like, I recall a lot of hours spent on a back line feeling very in my head like, and wondering how I look, how I'm coming across. Fuck the show yet. You know, I'm not thinking about the best move for the piece. It's weird. And I haven't really spoken to a lot of people about this or heard it talked about a lot. Or even, and this sounds like stupid, but like even on some of like my more like popular shows where I know people are excited to see me, maybe some like students or whatever, it's a weird feeling to feel like eyes are on you. And sometimes I'll find myself doing my impression of what I think a good and attentive improviser should be doing on the back line. So I'm all in my head and then I go, let's just pretend like we're listening now. So kind of look a little more serious. Point your head in the direction of the scene. Okay, you look like you're a guy who's watching a scene now. That's a crazy thing to say out loud, guys. I've never said that out loud. And if I'm being honest, it's pretty rare that there's not a dialogue going on in my head, where part of it is like, what's the best move? How can I serve this moment here? Remembering the name from the previous piece while simultaneously being like, what do I look like while I'm doing this?
That's something that we left off of our cons list, but the distraction of being on a back line and having to perform being on a back line, which is what you're talking about. And opposed to if you're in the wings or on the back, you're relieved of that and you can just focus on the show and maybe the next move that needs to happen or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're kind of relieved of having to do two performances at once.
I mean, that it is two performances at once. And I can recall when I exit the stage, even if there is a back line, but you make an exit and this kind of exhale, this moment where the lights and the eyes aren't on you for a second is like a nice moment to just be alone where yeah. I could be there if there was no back line watching the show without worried about how I look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like that you have to be on the whole time, right? You can't be distracted. You really do have to try to put as much energy as you can in a weird way to like focusing your attention towards the scene. That was the thing that I was kind of always taught is that like, if the audience does look at you, if you're paying attention to the scene, they'll go right back to the scene itself. So it's like, I feel like it's really important for me when I'm on the back line to be as present as possible for 30 minutes, which can be really hard.
Well, yes. Yeah. And since you know that, if you aren't present, you still might be a performance. Like I'm thinking now too, like how sometimes I'll laugh at a moment that isn't funny to generate laughter or the other hand is everyone's laughing. So I laugh to pretend like I'm having a good time. And I think that's funny. That's all performative. You know, I'm not, I don't know. I feel like if I had my druthers, I would like be sitting in that Bernie Sanders meme sitting with the gloves. That'd be the way I'd want to watch every show before I entered a scene. You know what I mean? Like scrutinizing it and really being a part of it and being enveloped by what's going on. I said, wow, I don't think I've ever said out loud that it's like a 60-40 split. On any given show, it's 60%, you know, performative and 40% invested or vice versa. Like it's a big part of it.
Yeah,
and
that's interesting.
Even down to what I'm wearing, is it distracting? That's why like I wear a lot of neutral tones. Neutral might not be the right, but I'm not going to wear like something crazy or like a lot of like the reason why I wear certain shoes I do is that like, even if I'm going to go see a show, say if it's like my students, like maybe there's going to be a jam afterwards and I want to be like show ready to like perform. And I don't want to be wearing like my couture jacket. That's like a little more fashion forward. Right. Like, so you kind of pare yourself down to be like in some basics. It's a whole fucking thing. Now that I think about it. And when I look at pictures of shows that I've been in and I see myself in the back line, I zoom in there. Do I look like I'm invested? Do I look like I'm interested? Now, listen, this is, again, the worst version. This is me, like, picking on that. Yeah, Jamie.
I don't think this is the worst version. I think this is just honestly what happens when you are on a back line because you're trying to make it the best version. You're trying to not be the distracted student who, you know, is not paying attention or is who drawing focus. You're trying to be the best version of a back line, and that's actually the problem.
I guess I don't want to come across, I did 60-40, so maybe that is fair, that I am trying my best. And I'm a good improviser, I'm a good teammate, so I am listening, I am contributing, I am doing those things. It's not just like, but simultaneously that other stuff is also happening. So that's just true.
So, because I agree with all of this, and I think Jamie's agreeing with all of this, and it's weird to be coming to the idea that, like, a good backline is hard to do.
Ooh.
Because ooh. I don't think I would have said that coming into this episode, but, like, as we're talking about it, it really does seem like it's very challenging to do a good version of it.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, let's keep going. I think there are moments when a move is made on stage and the audience will look to the back line to see if something has landed or not. You tell me it's funny. You tell me it's funny.
Yeah.
Or there are those other times too where you're killing on stage and the back line is kind of buckling over and almost they become part of it because they're like falling on each other, almost like a Sports Center highlight where like the team kind of falls on each other. Like, oh, I can't believe that was so funny. But that's it's kind of a performative aspect. I could not fall on the person next to me and just stand there. But it's like, we're in this. God, this is another one of these episodes, Jamie, where I'm like, had no idea I was going to say any of this. Had no idea. But I just picture myself. I also know I'm very hyper, I know I'm very anxious. So,
no, I mean, when we do our improv shows with students, we explain how to be on a back line. Like, make sure you're giving the scene your focus and you're not distracting, you're not talking, you know, you're laughing, laugh generously at your fellow performers, you know, and give them that support. You know, maybe that's another thing, is like, does the back line serve to actually support the people who are in the scene, like moral support, or is it distracting?
Sure.
Is it nice having people on stage with you, or would you prefer to be by yourself? I don't know. What does the backline do for the performance itself, the performers' brains themselves?
Listen, if I'm in a scene and Peter Floyd laughs in the back line, that feels good. It just feels good, you know? So what about if we get out of my head about my own fucking neuroses and think about the other stuff I'm thinking about, guys, which is like, where are we in the Herald? What was the game I'm going to present? Fuck, what was his name? I got to signal to the player that I want him to play, but I don't know if it was Carl or Craig. That whole shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, which I will say, Jamie, is kind of taking a backseat to the way I'm coaching these days and teaching, kind of playing from that point of inspiration. But because we're also kind of formless, if I'm being honest, in my most current way of playing. But Sam, we've talked about this before. You were on a deconstruction team. There's a lot of math going on there.
Yeah, and that's why I said I had to get to the point where I'd only have two things in my back pocket, because I realized like I couldn't hold on to everything. I had to hold on to enough that I could walk in with something. But I, you know, it's so funny. I shit on Zoomprov all the time and probably will forever. But I did have to do some shows, and I think one place where it was really awesome was the back line, because we weren't on camera, so we weren't distracting that way. And we had chat, so like we could type to each other, like, that was the character's name, like that's their role, this is what happened in that scene. And it was so, so helpful, because yeah, when you're on the back line and you've forgotten a name, and now you're not supposed to talk, but now I have to whisper to the person next to me who also probably forgot that person's name because it was only said once in the scene. That's a really challenging position to be in.
I mean, people have whispered to me, and I've done the same, but what beat is this? You know, like that. Talk about like not enjoying yourself if you're like doing that. Or I mentioned in the last episode about auditioning for UCB. Maybe I didn't get on those teams because a back line on a UCB audition is probably the least fun place I've ever been in my entire life.
Oh my God. I can't
imagine. A back line at a UCB audition callback. Let's see. You want to, Jamie, you want to put yourself in a position where there's no joy? Be in the back line of a UCB callback. It's all fear. For me. I'm sure plenty of people had a really fun time. It's like you're scanning who's in the house. You know, you're good friends with that guy. You don't love that guy. You recognize that one. Now, back to the actual audition. That's just me looking at the house. Who are the judges? Now it's like doing the generous laughter to prove that you're just having a good time. I'm just having a good time, to be honest. So I'm laughing at the scene in front of me. I can't even see or hear what's going on, if I'm being honest. I have no vision or hearing. I'm just pretending that I'm laughing because I'm racking my brain going, what the fuck was the specificity of that game? And how do I step out and let my scene partner and these judges know that not only do I know the game by naming it, but I'm going to heighten it as new characters? Get the fuck out of here. That is the worst place to be. Also, don't cross your arms. Right? Also, keep your focus towards the scene. Laugh when it's time. I never want to go through that for the rest of my life. And I don't do that now. And the way I teach and play and perform is a not that fucking place. And I'm not even mad at it. It's the way that went, and some people succeed. Some are, maybe there's more like LeBron James style where that pressure is where they did their best. Not for me. I'm out. Fuck that back line.
Wow. Yeah, and especially like, but you know, you were talking about what's going on in the brains of the improviser. You know, UCB's kind of notorious for being that like super heady style. So like, I think one of the dangers there is you do see a lot of people wheels turning. For better or worse, I don't know that you saw that as much at I.O. because it was more actory emotional, which, for better or worse.
Yeah, no, agreed. You know, but okay. So let's, on our way out here, kind of let's talk about some of the positive moments of being on a back line as a player in your mind. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Jamie, you and I have been on a back line, you know, together. Maybe because we're at different places. I'll speak for myself. Maybe because I'm at a different place than I was when I was auditioning for UCP Herald teams than I am today. It could be a joyous place. I'm actually enjoying myself. I look over at you, like I see you're about to do, I'm laughing because I know what you're going to do. Or it has been really fun to genuinely explode in laughter at something funny that's happening in front of me. I certainly don't have the fear I used to. And I don't have the anxiety anymore either. Not gone. I think the backline can be a joyful place. It's fun to get the tap sometimes too. Let's go. I can recall doing a show at Improv for the People. John, how do you pronounce his last name? Mangum. You know, tap me. I had no idea what he wanted to do. I'm just stepping forward. That's a fun moment to get the tap when you don't know. Oh shit. Okay. And you go there and he like sets you up. There can be joy found on the backline.
I think it's maybe how fun being on the back line is probably just a metric of how well the show is going. Because if the show is going well, then it's easy to give it your focus. It's easy to laugh and to pay attention. So I don't, that's probably just a byproduct of a good show. I don't know how it becomes fun otherwise. Because those shows that we did at Improv for the People, those were really just genuinely fun, good shows. Yeah. They didn't really require a lot of work or headiness. It was kind of just playing around. The back line was fine at that time, and I don't remember being heady either.
It's interesting to kind of connect that to, you know, Chris's thing about seeing the celebrity or like just sort of seeing the team together. I mean, there is like that feeling that you're all kind of in it together when you're all standing back there next to each other, right? Like this is our show. Like we got to do this. You're next to me. I've got your back, all that kind of thing.
You know, what would our back line's going to disappear? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe just because of the physical limitations of a space. Maybe that dictates a lot of whether there is one or not. Are there wings? I'll be off to the side. If there are wings, I'm going to be off to the side for sure.
By the way, the West Side wings are tough. You know, like
very tough.
Losing the back line there, but then if you're like four people back in the wing and you have an idea, like some real challenges.
That's a great point. That's a really great point. One of the wings, Jamie, is the bar. You know, you're standing in where the bartender is at the West Side, which is tough. And like Sam said, if you're four people back from the stage, it's hard to make your way through a crowd to get to the stage on time to make that relevant move.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree. The limitations of the space do make it challenging because honestly, I wouldn't want to see the bar when I'm watching a performance. That itself is distracting. So let's say that you're constructing a brand new blank canvas stage space. How can you construct it in a way that keeps the back line off the stage, but allows them to have all the benefits of a back line that we named? Quick editing where necessary, connectivity, seeing the things. Just is there an ideal construction for an improv stage? I mean, maybe that is itself a whole other episode, is like, how do we build the ideal improv stage? Because it seems like most of them are basically the same. And is that really what we need? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the best ones for my money are as open as possible, except for just on the side, there is like enough room for people to kind of just stand in a row on the sides. Right. And so they're mostly hidden from the main audience. If you're on like a far angle, you can only see like one of the sides kind of a thing to me. And like, again, like you do have to be aware that some of the audience can see you. Like you don't want to just be lounging around backstage. So like there's a half back line, the sideline kind of approach, which for my taste is maybe now that we've talked about all the pros of the backline, which I don't think I would have said there were this many, maybe you can, you know, eat your cake and have it too.
Yeah, that's tough, Jimmy, because my initial thought was, well, give me a theater with wings. But also those, I'm tall. So when I finish a scene and I get edited and I'm clearing stage, I can't just go to the wing and pivot and then watch the show. I have to squat or make my way behind the other players. That's a kind of a weird place to be. And I've been there actually a lot now that I think about it. It's a claustrophobic sense where you're kind of turned at an angle because you want to be able to get out there if as quickly as possible, especially if it's a tag out situation where you know you're about to come back in. So that means I got tagged out. I got to walk through the wing, turn and crouch because I'm still want my other players to see. It's kind of clunky. I don't know what the best thing. Here's what it is. This is a series of two-person scenes. Come on, baby. Just relax. Pull black. Hold, right? Hold after the scene. Let them clear. Two more players up. Back on. There are no edits. There's no back line.
It's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I'm also envisioning like a very large, like a 360 space where maybe there's four stages around the room at different corners of it. And then two people on one stage, and then that one gets light focus, and the other one is another setting. That one gets light focus. You know, it's a very expensive production, but you want to talk about good improv. Let's talk about good improv.
Yeah, but I will say there's nothing worse than when your backline is crouching at the base of a set of stairs. I've had to do that a couple of times.
Oh, yes.
That is just whatever we don't have to do that.
You know, maybe this is an entirely different topic, but just the idea of space. Why do performers have favorite spaces? The loft at IOS was always a preferred space. Oh, the loft. You know, you get the main stage, of course. Part of being up there is just that you're on the main stage. That's great. You get the DCT in the back, which everybody hated. And then the loft had this magical feeling. Or even UCB Franklin versus UCB Sunset. In the loft, for those who didn't know, it's just a little black box. There's no wing. There's no Sam. How would you describe the loft? It was
a corner.
A corner.
Like that was like the back line ended up being like a back L because
exactly.
Like that's just what it was. Yeah.
Such a strange space.
But people loved it. People loved the loft, and I never understood why people didn't like the DCT. Like I understand that it was not liked as a thing. But I thought it was fine. Better than Sunset.
I want to talk about space at some point. All right. I don't know. Listen, here's the way I want to end my piece after triggering myself with all the things that go on through my mind in a back line. We've been saying a lot lately. If you're playing from a place of inspiration, moving when you want to move, hopefully that'll quiet down some of the other shit that's going on in your mind when you think you have to do something or have to look a certain way. I don't know, man. That's just, we're supposed to be having fucking fun. Maybe doing some work that people give a shit about occasionally. It's hard to make that happen when you're worried if your collar looks good with your sweater and who's watching you. How's that? I don't know. Any parting words? Jamie, where do we land? Are backlines good or bad?
I don't know. I think that was just the end of the episode.